Welcome to the Unbound Healing Podcast. I'm your co-host, Michelle Hoover, certified nutritional therapy practitioner and writer of everything you'll find at Unbound Wellness. And with me is my co-host, Anne-Marie Garland, nutritional therapist and health coach at Grass-Fed Salsa. Here, we share everything about overcoming health challenges, from autoimmunity to hormone imbalance and more, with holistic living, mindset shifts, practical tips, and a real food paleo approach. Remember our disclaimer, the content within this podcast is intended to provide general information only and is not to be substituted for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now, let's get on with the show, holiday style. Anne, how do you like the new holiday intro?
I love it. It's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're talking about staying healthy during the holidays this week. So that's why I put that up there. But it may or may not be just up there throughout the whole holiday season. I'm kind of a holiday freak.
Yeah, me too. Well, me too, typically, but our baby is due like right around the holidays. And so I was feeling so good about everything and then recently kind of freaked out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so not ready. And so I'm like, okay, it's still going to be Halloween around here. We're still going to watch The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, leave up all our Halloween decor. But today I finally came to terms with it. And I told James he could put away all of our Halloween decor and we can watch the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving episode tonight. So I'm accepting the fact that time is moving on and I will soon have to care for another human besides myself.
Oh man, I'm excited.
What about you?
Awesome. I guess my biggest piece of news, if you haven't been to the blog recently, my blog, I have a ton of Thanksgiving recipes up there, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So it's timely. I have a paleo stuffing. I have a Thanksgiving slaw, like a coleslaw, which is so good. Daniel and I can't stop eating it. Really delicious. I'm going to be doing an apple crisp. I have a sweet potato dish, two sweet potato dishes, and I have sweet potato, cranberry sweet potato turkey poppers.
Oh, I love
it. Really good. Yeah. So there's lots of stuff over there. I'm trying to give you all of the options, a ton of sides, appetizers, all the fun stuff. I just don't see myself ever doing a whole turkey recipe, at least this year. Maybe next year. I wanted to just get a bunch of sides out of my system.
That's great that you have all these holiday recipes for us. I might have to try one. We are hosting 14 people for Thanksgiving this year.
Wow. Which
I'm kind of freaking out about. So we decided to have a Friendsgiving. And my mom told me last year that she was never going to drive to Austin for Thanksgiving again because the traffic was too terrible.
I can't imagine.
Then I told her that I wasn't traveling for Thanksgiving this year because it was too close to my due date and told her that we were having a Friendsgiving and she thought it sounded so much fun that she decided to come crash Friendsgiving. And then my dad decided to come crash Friendsgiving.
Oh my gosh.
And then one of my brothers decided.
Okay, so it's family Thanksgiving plus fam.
Yeah. Well, and one of our friends is bringing her dad. So it was it's crazy. One of our friends is bringing her brother. So it is like a friends.
I'm coming too. No.
Friendsgiving. You guys are more than welcome. James and I are preparing, I think like four different whole chickens instead of turkey. Cause we always feel like turkey is dry. And then I don't know what else. So I'm going to have to check out your recipes and see what sounds good.
The coleslaw is really bomb. I must recommend
it. I do really, really, really love coleslaw.
Yeah.
Cabbage is my jam.
I love just having something fresh at Thanksgiving. I feel like everything's so carb heavy, which I love, obviously, but I love having a salad on the table too. So this is gonna be a new favorite for me.
Definitely. Well, and then just a quick reminder, me and my friends Alyssa and Allison created a free holiday treat ebook. It has a lot of Thanksgiving recipes, Christmas recipes. So you can go download that on my website, grassfedsalsa.com/paleo Cookie-Exchange. So you can get that free there. I think there's going to be, by the time we're done updating it, I think there's going to be like 30 different recipes, and 15 of those are AIP, but they're all grain-free and really delicious. We have like a puppy chow, a thin mint, just a lot of different fun things.
Dang. So
go get your free ebook. Dang. All right. Michelle, what are you loving this week?
Other than everything holidays in general, I have another podcast recommendation. This is more of a business / motivational podcast than it is a health podcast. But like I always say, I like mixing it up. And this podcast is called How I Built This. And it's all about these huge companies that you will know and recognize and how they came to be. So how Spanx started, how Whole Foods started, how Instagram started. And it's really motivational. They put it out every Monday and it just always gets me so amped up for a week of doing the work that I love. It's really cool, you know, just hearing how these people came from, most of them came from nothing and created these amazing things. So go check it out. It's a really motivational one.
I've heard so much about that. I don't know why I've not tried downloading it yet.
It's awesome.
This week, we wanted to talk about socializing and holidays on a healing diet and how those two can go hand in hand.
Because it's hard. I remember when I first started my whole healing diet journey, I went on my whole quote unquote leaky gut regimen for the very first time, which is basically a modified AIP diet the day after Thanksgiving, because I just could not fathom doing an AIP type diet during Thanksgiving. And every following Thanksgiving after that, I was still, you know, modified paleo, AIP, some sort of grain-free, some sort of variation for those many years after. And it's hard, especially when you're going to see other people, when you're traveling, when you got to explain things to everyone, where all of your favorite childhood dishes are on the table. What do you do? So we're going to be talking about that today.
Yeah, and not entirely just in like a holiday context, but socializing in general. So going to different events and all of that, but the holidays do come into play there.
For sure.
I wanted to start by reading this quote that I found from Chance the Rapper, which I shared on Instagram. There's been all this talk about whether it's a quote or a song lyric. I don't really know.
I do not know one song by that guy. I'm sorry.
I don't either. So the reason why this came up was I kept seeing this snippet of text being like shared and reposted throughout the health community. So here's what it says. It says, canceling plans to read is okay. Skipping a party for the gym is okay. Staying home to cook is okay. Let's encourage it and respect self-improvement. And at first I was like, yeah, go. That's great. But then I started thinking about it more. Okay, canceling plans to read is okay. Totally agree with that. If you're tired, if you want to stay home, if you're an introvert, do it. The next one, skipping the party for the gym is okay. So here's my problem with that is, why do you feel like you have to out-exercise your diet or whatever it may be? So why does partying have to equate like unhealthy habits, and why does the gym equate something healthier? So there, it could be one thing if it was like skipping the party to stay home because you're tired or because you are an introvert and you need alone time, you need downtime, all of that's one thing. But when it comes to like the party or the gym, and you have to choose the gym in order to be like respecting yourself and improving yourself, I don't know. That's where I start to have an issue. And then same with staying home to cook is okay. So again, why does eating out, why does socializing and spending time with your friends have to look like an unhealthy act? Why do those things always have to go hand in hand with drinking, with eating unhealthy, with making bad choices? And so my thought process here is, Not necessarily that this is a terrible quote, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but why can't we reprogram what it looks like to socialize? So why can't we go out with our friends and enjoy the party or enjoy the dinner or whatever it may be while teaching ourselves how to make the appropriate choices that support our goals? Why do we have to isolate in order to self-improve? And so on that note, I just think it's kind of ties into what we're talking about today, and to sort of change your mindset around what it is that is really going to benefit you in the long run. And if that may be to stay at home and skip a holiday party, then so be it. But otherwise, use these tips that we have for you today on how to make appropriate or choices that are just going to support your overall goals and your overall health while still not feeling like you're missing out on anything. Okay. So the first thing I want to say is that while going to a social event or going to a party, celebrating a holiday is going to be different if you're following a healing diet, it doesn't have to be difficult. The important part is to prep and to make sure that you have a lot of options in place and to really go in with the right mindset. My biggest takeaway here is that socialization is so important, and to not isolate yourself completely while you're following a healing diet, because that's going to create a lot of animosity towards your diet. It's going to create a very unhealthy relationship with food, because you're going to be thinking about food as preventing you from spending time with your friends. And even if you don't feel like that at first, subconsciously, this is going to be playing on you. So making sure that you have the tools in place to be able to enjoy socialization while following whatever protocol it is that you're sticking to. Okay, and then again, I talked about the preparation and communication. Communication here is super important, and it's one of the things that to me makes the most sense when it comes to holidays. So here's my example with that. When I first went AIP, my aunt, who absolutely loves to cook, she throws a Christmas dinner for me and my family every single year. And she called me ahead of time because I think my mom had told her that I was following this, you know, this different diet. So she called me ahead of time and she said, "What can I make for you? Can you send me a few recipes?" So she wanted to like modify her meal planning so that I could enjoy at least something there. Now, I know not every single host is going to be like that, but if you're really close with these people, if whoever's hosting the holiday event is a family member, a really close friend, making sure that you reach out to them and say like, "Hey, I'm following this diet specifically for health reasons." I always think that that's a really important line to add, because if you're talking about health reasons, you can even say that it's like a medically suggested diet or something like that. And if you tell them ahead of time and suggest that you send them recipes, see if they would be open to sharing those. And most often people are going to be fine with that, especially if you're close with them. All right, so number three under this is to set boundaries and non-negotiables for yourself. And those are going to look different for everyone. So your non-negotiables should always be the foods or the events and activities that you absolutely do not want to partake in. And then there might be some things where you allow a little bit of leeway around the holidays. So for me personally, I typically allow a little bit more leeway around like my sugar consumption around the holidays. But then I still have my very strong non-negotiables about dairy or gluten or whatever it may be. So making sure that you have boundaries and non-negotiables set and in place. And then lastly, you just want to focus on enjoying yourself and trying not to stress about being different and having this be a different holiday. And to me, communication before the event takes place really helps to relieve that overall stress. So you don't have to go into the day wondering, what am I going to eat? What's going to be there? Have absolutely no clue. And instead, you have a plan in place to either bring something that the host can serve or the host is providing something that is compliant on your protocol. Do you want to talk about mindset?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing to remember with this is we're going to be sharing all these tactics and, you know, things you can bring and suggesting recipes that are compliant for holidays that everybody will love. But what it all goes back to is your mindset around the situation. That I have a lot of posts on my blog where I share all of those tips and people still come back and say, okay, but how do you mentally deal with that? How do you deal with not being able to eat your favorite foods, to sit there and see the, you know, sweet potato casserole that you loved so much as a kid, or the like crescent rolls or something, or the pumpkin pie? How do you sit there and be okay with that? And it takes time. So it takes time to shift your mindset. Like I said, when I first went on my first round of a protocol, I waited to do it the day after Thanksgiving. I couldn't do it the first time because I figured out that I needed to do that protocol towards the beginning of November. And I knew that I was not going to be able to shift my mindset in like 2-3 weeks. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do it now. But by the next year, I was still trying to shift my mindset towards, okay, I can't have that pumpkin pie. I'm not going to feel well. I have to do something else. So this takes time. So if you're brand new to this podcast, if you're brand new to an AIP diet or a paleo diet, it's okay. And you don't have to feel shame if you don't have this 100% at this point where you still feel kind of lost and you still feel like it's not fun. That's okay. And you should feel validated in those feelings that this is hard and this is different to shift your lifestyle. So it takes time, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do the work to shift your mindset. Because the most important thing is to remember why you're doing this. So you're not eating that pumpkin pie. If you're listening to this podcast and you are in the autoimmune space and you have figured out that pumpkin pie does not make you feel great, you're not eating it because it doesn't make you feel great. It's not because you are restricting calories. It's not because you are restricting fun or memories. You're eating it to honor your body and honor yourself, that you want to be able to enjoy the rest of the day with your family and friends and not feel terrible. And that's the mindset that you have to keep in your mind when you're, you know, taking that plate of dinner rolls and passing it on to the next person, saying, hey, I'm not going to feel great if I eat that. Plain and simple. And the other thing that I always tell people within the mindset realm is that there are other things to be grateful for in life and other things to love about the holidays and about going out than just the food. I know that Thanksgiving particularly is a food holiday and it's all about the food, but it's about so much more than that. The whole holiday is about gratitude and family and friends and tradition. And yes, we celebrate food around it, and you can still bring food. You can still eat food on Thanksgiving. Please eat. Please don't not eat. But it's not all about just eating. You're not there just to eat the food. And there are other things that you can enjoy in life rather than just that.
Well, and it also depends on what protocol you're following and if 100% compliance makes sense around the holidays, or if this is a particular time that you can indulge in some of these dishes that you may not have on a regular, a regular occurrence. And that kind of goes back to really the only protocol that I can think of that would make sense for you to go 100% and stick to the protocol that you're following 100% is if you are in the early stages of an autoimmune protocol or an elimination diet where you're trying to test food intolerances, food triggers, food sensitivities. Because otherwise, really there's not, even if you're following a Whole 30, I know that this is like a Whole 30 is to kind of train your brain around or retraining your brain around how it views food, but this is not, I guess I shouldn't say that because some people may be following the Whole 30 as a medically prescribed healing protocol. But there are protocols out there, I guess, that you may feel like, okay, well, this is for me. So let's give an example here. So this makes a little more sense. There is a potato dish that my sister-in-law makes that has butter, sour cream, and cornflakes on it. And there's no, so what she would do for me once I found out I had celiac disease was make it a certain dish that had no cornflakes on it, but it still had all of the dairy within it. And that would be something that I would still indulge in because this is the one time of the year that I eat this dish. It's one of my absolute favorite dishes. And she would prep it for me so that it didn't have any gluten. And for me, that was okay. So it was okay to put that dairy restriction that I had on myself for my healing purposes aside for one day so that I could enjoy it and then deal with the repercussions of eating dairy the next day. And that was something that I set that boundary for myself. I knew that that was going to be a decision that I was going to make and I stuck to it. And that's the really, like, that just ties back to setting boundaries and non-negotiables for yourself, like doing that the day ahead of time or a week ahead of time so that you don't go there and just decide, oh my gosh, like I can't handle not having this side dish, so I'm just going to have it now, and then beating yourself up about it. This is like a choice that you're making ahead of time, and that's your choice. Like, it's okay. It doesn't mean that you fell off the wagon. It doesn't mean that you like broke protocol or anything. You made a choice, and the next day you can choose to make a different choice. So it doesn't mean that you like failed or anything like that. Okay, then we have telling the people that you are spending the holiday with or the event with, socializing with, making sure you're telling them what you're doing and why you're doing it. So you're going to value yourself and value your health enough that you are going to tell them what you're doing specifically and ask them for their support. And again, this is all just a crucial step in making sure that you don't feel isolated. If you tell them ahead of time, again, communication, 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 tell them ahead of time, it's going to be okay. They're not going to try to tempt you. They may forget, honestly, and reach out and suggest that you eat a piece of cake or a piece of pumpkin pie, but that's okay. You can turn it down. Just be like, oh yeah, remember I'm following that special healing diet. And it's going to be fine. So you'll tell them why, tell them that you chose to follow this diet because it has the potential to make you feel so much better. Because if you say something like that, somebody's going to have a much better chance of, like, their mindset is going to be a lot more open to supporting you to succeed through that and not to challenge you on it. If you're talking about this from a place of health versus a place of aesthetics. And with that, because this can often be like a little point of contention with your coworkers or friends, is your consistency. When it comes down to those non-negotiables and those boundaries that you set for yourself, being consistent. And so it's if they offer you something that is not compliant and it is one of your non-negotiables, every single time you should be saying no. The minute that you say yes, they're going to start to feel like your decisions are like you're flexible in your decisions and they're just going to keep pushing you. But if I completely turn down gluten every single time it's offered to me, people stop offering it to me because they remember there's a consistency there.
So let's talk a little bit about celebrating the holidays specifically. So we've talked about mindset, we've talked about being consistent and all this good foundational stuff. Let's talk about some more practical things. So it's always important, I think, when you're going to a gathering, it's great when you can have people make things for you. But from what I've found, even when people have the best intentions, there are still sometimes some falters where they say, oh, hey, this is a totally, hey, sweet potatoes, you can have this. Oh, I cooked it in canola oil, you know. That's happened to me a lot. Or, oh, I use this spice blend that has paprika in it. That's happened to me way more times than I can count. And
so true.
Yeah. People are just like, they're just trying to be nice. They're well-meaning. They're trying to be helpful, but they just don't know. So if you have people that know everything inside out, like if you have somebody else in your life that's on a paleo diet or a similar protocol to you, then great. Or if they're really willing to follow your instructions, great. But I think it's always really great. And if you're going to a Thanksgiving dinner, you're going to probably bring something anyway, bringing something that is compliant that you can share. And I've built a lot of the recipes on my blog around that, just because that's something that I've struggled with so much. Not like I'm super social. I'm usually just locked up in my house all the time anyway. But when I do go out, it's so stressful for me to have to turn down things that people went out of their way to make for me, and then it turned out wrong. And it's, you'll always tell people, no, I'm fine. But usually they'll go out of their way anyway. I remember I went to this barbecue one time and somebody was asking, oh, do you want a gluten-free bun for your burger? I was like, no, I'm fine. It'll have something in it I can't have. I'm fine. And then I went there. She's like, oh, I got you your gluten-free bun. I was like, I still can't have it. It's got potato starch in it. And she was like rolling her eyes, so annoyed. And it's like, I said no. But so I would have a lot of stress around that. And I still do. So it's way easier to be like, no, you don't have to make anything. I will bring something and we will all eat it and we will all be happy. So bringing your own recipes to share are great. So bringing so we'll talk about some practical things. So if you're going to like a holiday party, a snack or an appetizer, bringing something like plantain chips or, just like a fruit platter, vegetable tray that everybody feels obligated to eat those at the holidays. So everybody kind of always picks at it. So bringing something like that is a really good way to get people, you know, eating the same things as you. As far as a meal or a whole protein dish, if you're going to be at Thanksgiving, it can be challenging if people are making a turkey and they're putting stuffing in it or they're putting some sort of weird seasoning on it. It can be challenging. With my mom and my mother-in-law, usually what I've been doing the past couple of years is saying, I'll reserve the turkey and I will get it and like bring it to you. And I'll give you the instructions that they have on how to cook it. And then, you know, just ask them not to put these spices on it. So if you have the flexibility to do that, then great. To go out to a farm or a natural grocer's or something and reserve a turkey, awesome. But that's also why I made those cranberry turkey poppers this year. That's a great way to get kind of that holiday flavor of a out of a protein dish and not have to make your entirely own turkey. And those sweet potato chicken poppers on my blog are just really great crowd pleasers for people, even ones that, you know, will be eating all of the grains and the bread and all that stuff. Everybody still likes those. So those chicken poppers are another really good option. Sides are huge at Thanksgiving. You know, there's usually just one protein, but there's always my family. I've only got, plus with my husband, there's like five of us. And so there's five people on the table, just full of sides. We have so many sides. So there's always a lot of sides at Thanksgiving. So bringing one or two sides that everybody will love and that you can share. And then I just make sure to be very clear about like, okay, this is the spoon for this sweet potato casserole. It only goes here. And like, I'll write that, you know, put a post-it note there, like, please don't put this anywhere else. And people will do that. Like they can follow that much of instruction to not, you know, then put that in the stuffing. So things like a sweet potato casserole that you can make at home, that's a no-brainer that everybody will love, or just baked sweet potatoes, roasted sweet potatoes. I brought last year, I did like a white sweet potato mash, and nobody knew that that wasn't just like, it just tastes like really good mashed potatoes. That Thanksgiving coleslaw I was talking about is a really good one. Grain-free stuffing. I have a recipe for that this year, and there's lots of recipes for that online. A cranberry sauce is really easy to make. I always thought that it was hard. It's like, why does everybody have like this, you know, this disgusting jar-shaped cranberry sauce sitting on their table that you like slice off and it's just all sugar. It's like, it's got to be really hard to make. It's so easy to make that you just take a bag of cranberries and like some orange juice and maybe a little bit of honey.
So good.
It's so, that's one of my favorite dishes.
Yeah, me
it's
too.
Really good. Do you have any other sides to recommend?
Yeah, I would just say, so the same thing that kind of you've been talking about is, well, what you mentioned with the turkey, with your mom saying, here's exactly what to make, here's what I want you to put on it. If you are asking somebody to make something for you, instead of going through a list of everything you are avoiding, sending them a recipe saying, please follow this 100%. Mm-hmm. I can bring over any ingredients ahead of time that you may not have. And that way they aren't going to make substitutions and they're going to follow a recipe that's specific for you. So the biggest thing there is not to give them a huge long list of things you can't have, because that's when things start to slip in. You know, they use a cornstarch thickener or whatever it may be. But if you send them an AIP recipe that uses arrowroot starch or tapioca starch instead of cornstarch, and you offer to them like, hey, I know this is a weird ingredient, you may not have it, I can bring you some ahead of time, then they'll know, okay, well, there's a reason why this is in here. I'm not going to make a substitution. So those would be the two things that I would mention about recipes, following recipes. And then as for actual recipe suggestions, I didn't do any research on this ahead of time. I'm trying to think of some of my faves. Side dishes. Oh, there are. So what I wanted to say there is to go to Pinterest and to search whatever protocol you're on and whatever side dish it is that you feel like you are going to miss out on the most. So let's say it's green bean casserole, and let's say you're following the Whole 30. If you type in Whole 30 green bean casserole, I'm sure like 500 will show up.
Oh yeah.
So going there and seeing what looks the best, what shows up early in the search, because those are likely going to be the ones that are tested and have a lot of repins and kind of have some like social validity behind them. They're going to be tasty recipes. And then even testing them out maybe like the week before so that you know you don't get a dud, because, you know, with Pinterest, you can't always get some dud recipes. But that way you don't feel like you have to kind of change up everything. You are going towards the traditional dishes, but you're just tailoring them towards your specific protocol. All right, then we have mocktails. I think mocktails are really important when it comes to the holidays, because I don't know about you, but with my family, we aren't even big drinkers, but there's still wine or mulled wine or cider or just different things like that that come with the holiday season. And so
there's lots of coffee at my parents' house.
Oof,
coffee. It'll be like 6 o'clock, like, hey, you want a coffee? Both my parents and my in-laws, they love coffee. I love coffee too, but yeah, if you don't tolerate coffee, you're gonna want to have something else in your hand. Daniel and I always do, we always bring LaCroix and everybody, LaCroix, actually, I'm sorry,
LaCroix people, you're all hating me right now.
People are like swerving their cars off the road. We always bring LaCroix or like Pellegrino, Topo Chico. Everybody likes that. And then it looks like you're drinking a fancy drink and not just sitting there with your Berkey water.
Totally. Yeah. And that's one thing that I make. I am now calling it a cherry soda, but you can bring tart cherry juice, mix it with any type of soda water and add a lime to it, and it, or add a lime or not. And it looks like a cocktail. So it's a fun drink. It satisfies a little bit of a sweet tooth, but not really, because it is more tart than sweet, and it's delicious. I'm actually drinking one right now. You can also do that with kombucha. So if you're tolerating kombucha well, you could add some soda water to it just to water it down a little bit, or just drink kombucha. And a lot of times that flavor will help you not miss out on the wine or whatever it is that everybody else is drinking. We do have, in that ebook that I was talking about earlier, we do have a few different cocktail recipes. And I think we have a couple different mocktail recipes in there as well. So you can check that out for some other options. And then desserts. So desserts, my favorite. I would again suggest our Paleo Cookie Exchange ebook for a bunch of different dessert recipes. On my website, I have, desserts are definitely my favorite. So I have a couple different cookie recipes. There's a cranberry orange AIP cookie, a cranberry grapefruit AIP cookie, gingerbread, sugar cookies, lemon blueberry preserve cookies. These are also, a lot of them are in the ebook that I was talking about. And then caramel apple parfaits. Parfaits are one of those recipes that looks absolutely beautiful, doesn't take a lot of time, and is like a total crowd pleaser. Because here's what I've realized about parfaits is that people aren't, so when somebody is eating a cookie that is gluten-free, they're expecting it to taste like a gluten-free cookie. But if somebody's eating a parfait that doesn't typically include something that would contain gluten, then they're not going to be missing that gluteny texture or flavor, whatever it may have that it's missing. So for example, like my caramel apple parfaits have sauteed apples. They have like a crisp on top, a whipped cream, and a caramel sauce. And so there's no like bready, doughy component to that. So nobody's feeling like they're missing out or feeling like it's a restriction or some type of different thing. And it just looks really beautiful. So that would be my suggestion if you were sharing a dessert, would go with, to go with a parfait.
I did an apple crisp this year too. It was really good. I brought it over to my parents' house and they really liked it.
Yeah. Sauteed apples are just like, yeah, those are winners. They're crowd pleasers. They're easy. They don't require any extra sugar. I mean, it's just so great.
It is. So a little quote that I wanted to share while we're talking about bringing food to a holiday party. So this came from I have a Facebook group called Gut Healing Support with Unbound Wellness. If you haven't been in there yet, it is where we talk all about gut stuff. And I shared a older blog post that I had about feeling left out at social events, which is a lot of what we're talking about here. And somebody, so her name is Sarah, and she was talking about children on restrictive diets, which is a whole other topic. So, but I wanted to pepper that in here because it's also important, because I'm sure that many of us listening who have kids maybe in the same boat, that their kids are also gluten-free or dairy-free. And so here's what, and we don't have kids yet, so I wanted to bring in some advice from Sarah. And she said, if you have children on restrictive diets, it is incredibly empowering for them if you let them choose what they bring. Let them help shop for the ingredients and make it, etc. My three kids have always had to take their own holiday treats and meals to all functions and now look forward to planning their favorites on the holidays. I tell them that we aren't quote unquote left out. Anyone would happily include us. We just have restrictions like a bazillion other folks in one way or another in life, and it doesn't have to ruin anything. So make dishes delicious and enjoy them. And I love that. How she said, you know, tons of people have restrictions in millions of other ways in life that they don't like this or they don't like that, or they can't go here. They can't, like, so many people have something that they can't do, and they have something that bothers them and something that's makes the holiday or makes this situation not as ideal. But, you know, empower yourself and empower your kids to be like, hey, you know, we're not left out. They're still including us. You're still invited. You're just empowering yourself to bring your own thing and feel happy. And I think it's awesome to let your kids choose, like, hey, what do you want to bring? Like, this is your dish. You know, you have three kids. Be like, here's your Three things. What do you all want to bring? I love that. So thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah. Okay.
I hope
Let's move on to from celebrating holidays to celebrating other events. So these could pertain to holiday celebrations, but I think it's important to just talk about socializing in general as well. So if you are celebrating, let's say you're celebrating a girls' night with your best friends, there are a few different options for you if you're just now starting out on a healing protocol and you don't feel comfortable like going over to your friend's house at the moment because you know that they don't know what you're following. This is like totally new for them. So the first suggestion would be to offer to entertain at your house or apartment. And that way you can control.
I always do that.
Yeah, that way you can control the menu, the activity that you're preparing for everyone to partake in, etc. And when it comes to that menu, the entire menu can be compliant recipes that everyone can enjoy. So like Michelle was talking about earlier, her sweet potato chicken poppers are always a crowd pleaser. And that way you have something that you can share with everybody that follows your assuming that that follows your healing protocol. But that way you can share something with everyone that they will enjoy as well, not feel like they're missing out on anything. And then there's also the pizza from the Healing Kitchen. And yes, you could, if you felt comfortable having dairy or gluten or nightshades in your kitchen, you could prepare your own pizza plus a different pizza for them, or have like order takeout or whatever for a pizza for them. And again, that way it's like there's multiple options there. So at my baby shower, there were two quiches that were gluten-free and two quiches that had gluten in it. And that way everybody could kind of choose. And to be honest, like the gluten-free ones went before everything else, which I was kind of ticked about because I'm like, I wanted leftovers, but that's okay. And then another fun thing is to come up with a theme, and you can either put a menu together for everyone to follow like around this central theme, whether it be a holiday theme or like a brunch theme. So like a brunch for dinner theme, and you can come up with an entire menu and then see if your friends want to make one of the recipes. So long as they're like easy recipes for them to follow, they're not like super intricate or difficult. But that way you're just like, hey, does everyone want to contribute? I'll come up with the menu. And then you send them different recipes to try. I think that could be like a really fun thing for everyone to do because everybody's going to get exposed to something different. And then if you're going to somebody else's house, so if you just can't host at your own place for whatever reason, tell them that you'd like to prepare something to bring and ask if a contribution for a main dish or a side dish would be better. So again, instead of saying, can I bring anything? They're going to probably say no, they have it covered. And if you think back to any time that you've offered to bring anything to any party, you probably got that response. So instead, say, I would really like to bring something. Would it be better if I brought a main dish, a side dish, or a dessert? And that way you're not really giving them a choice to say no. And if they do say, like, oh, you don't have to bring anything, say, I'd really like to. Like, what would make the most sense for the menu that you're planning? And then you can kind of go from there. When it comes down to the activities, you should keep in mind that your socialization doesn't have to completely revolve around food. So this goes back to that first quote that I was talking about earlier about making different choices and redefining what it looks like to go out and party, and why does partying always have to equal like a bunch of drinks, taking shots with your friends, and then going to Pita Pit to eat, you know, pita sandwich afterwards. Like it doesn't have to look like that. You can go out and enjoy time with your friends, be completely sober, have a midnight snack if you want that works with your healing protocol, and then go home and sleep. Like you don't have to wait until the bars close at 2 a.m. and you still had a great time with your friends socializing. So it doesn't have to completely revolve around food or drinks either. So here are some other options. You could get your friends together and do like a weekend workout. You could go on a hike. You could go to a workout class, a yoga class, and then like hang out afterwards, like grab a coffee, grab a juice, whatever it may be. You can always go see a movie. Now, that's not necessarily a socialization activity, but a lot of people feel like even if they're sitting next to someone, that feels like enough of a social energy exchange that they feel satisfied from that. So going to see a movie is a great thing for you if you're introverted or if you're low on energy. And then you can bring your own snacks. My favorite thing to bring to a movie personally is Epic Brands pork rinds, because they kind of have this a similar texture to popcorn, sort of like an airy, like really munchable texture. So those are my favorite things to bring. You can also bring plantain chips. Michelle, do you have anything that you like to bring to the movies?
Yeah, I usually bring like sliced apples. I don't know why, but that's just always what I want when I go to the movies. I'll like,
I would never think that, but that's kind of awesome.
See, yeah, it's crunchy, sweet.
Yeah, yeah,
that sounds such a lame thing, but it's good.
I like it. No, I like it. That's so, especially if you're the type of person. So for me, I was coming at this from like a salty perspective, because when I go to the movies, I always get something salty. But if you were the type of person who got candy instead of popcorn, like what would your option be? Like sliced apples is a great option. Another thing that I personally love doing for like social activities would be going to music concerts. Because again, this is like the experience of it is very extroverted. You're surrounded by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of energy going on around you. But at the same time, it's a very like introspective personal experience. And so me being an introvert, it really works well for me. And of course, I always need some downtime after to kind of recover from all of that energy. But it's not me going out with a bunch of people and talking and having to like schmooze other people that I don't know and get to know other groups of people. It's not like that. And so with music concerts, making sure that you either bring a mocktail if possible, and you can do that cherry soda that I talked about earlier, or my go-to is always just ordering a soda water with lime. If they have grapefruit juice, you can try that. It's going to be from concentrate, so it's not going to be the best, but again, if you have boundaries and non-negotiables and that's within it, then go for it. You can also do like a little splash of pineapple juice to give it some sweetness if you want. Otherwise, just soda water with lime is delicious, and most people won't even realize that you aren't drinking alcohol. And then a few other activities that you could do would be bowling, comedy shows, an adult arcade, which is one of my personal favorites. We do that every time we have guests in town. We take them to one of the adult arcades here in Austin. And you can even do tourist activities in your own city. And that's something that when I first moved to Austin, I did a lot of because I was new to the city. I don't really do it as much anymore. And I kind of wish I would, because there are still so many things here that I haven't ever participated in or seen, and I've only heard about. So trying to schedule times for things like that, and that way your activities don't always revolve around food.
Something for the nerds. I'm not much of a nerd. I'm my own kind of nerd. But then I met my husband. I'm like, no, you're way more of a nerd. My husband is like a Dungeons and Dragons type nerd. So his friends are really into role playing and stuff. So every time they hang out, it's like game nights. And it's fun because it's, just an indoor, nerdy, kind of introverted thing. And the last time, every time that they do it, I'll bring some sort of dish. And, you know, these are people that if they're not eating my food, it's, you know, just kind of like fun game night. Like Danielle said, they always used to drink like Mountain Dew Code Red and Skittles and stuff like that. Just not so great food. But this last several times I've brought just food that I've made, like recipes from my blog. Last time I brought my banana bread. So I have like a plantain banana bread, and I brought my chocolate matcha balls, and everybody was eating them. Like the matcha balls, I had brought a bunch of them. I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to have most of these. I think I brought like 12 and I had like one. left. They ate half of my banana bread. Like everybody was just eating it and they were just all happy with it. And then when we did a game night at our house, I used Star Wars molds to make like gummies, and I just had like Simple Mills crackers. So the majority of the time, if you're doing like a fun thing at home and you just put food in front of people, they're going to be happy. But yeah, that's just, that's something that my husband and his friends have opened my eyes to, that, you know, just staying in. And I have my own friends too, who aren't, I'm friends with a lot of nerdy people now that I think about it, but I'm a nerd too, but you know, even my friends that aren't into like Dungeons and Dragons, we still like board games and stuff like that. So that's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Cards Against Humanity is always a fun one. So you can find a lot of board games. Yeah. We always play board games. My brother got us Trivial Pursuit 2000s edition for Christmas last year. And OMG, I never would have thought that I would enjoy it, but it is so much fun. I love it so much. So board games are really great. Okay. The next thing to talk about is what to do if you do not have control over the options that are being served. So I've talked about my experience with my aunt, where I did have a little bit of control. We've talked about control by hosting yourself, but what happens if you have no control? And there could be a variety of different reasons here. Let's say for work, you have to take a client out to a specific restaurant. So again, going back to communication here is going to be the number one thing. So calling the restaurant or the caterer or the host and explaining that you are on a prescribed diet for health reasons and asking them about how they can accommodate. So let's move into a restaurant. Again, without going into here are all the things that I cannot have, you ask them how they can accommodate with things that you know they would have. So calling a restaurant and saying like, okay, could you make me a salmon fillet, for example? So you're giving them a animal protein that you feel like you know they have. Cook that in olive oil. And then maybe on the side, I can get a plain baked sweet potato, making sure that none of this is cooked with any marinade, that it's dressed with sea salt, olive oil, and vinegar, and then any fresh herbs that they have. So you've now asked them, like, do you have salmon? Do you have sweet potato? Do you have olive oil and vinegar? And there you have a meal. And you've called them ahead of time, calling them during a time of the where it's not like a peak restaurant time, so calling in the middle of the afternoon or something, and letting them know the day and time that you're going to be there. They're going to be so much more accommodating because you've called ahead, you've now identified exactly what you're going to be eating, and you don't have to stress about it. So let's move on to if there's a caterer involved. So again, going and asking the caterer if they can accommodate ahead of time. A lot of times you're going to see this, like my biggest experience with this has been through email exchange and making sure that communication is always there. And then if they can't accommodate, you can ask the caterer, okay, so since you cannot accommodate me, can I bring my own dish and have you heat it up and serve it to me on a plate? That way you're not just pulling out of your purse a Tupperware where you feel left out. You feel like people might be asking like, oh, what's that? Like, oh, what are you eating? Why are you doing that? And like questioning everything and making you feel left out and uncomfortable. And instead, they're just bringing you a different dish that you provided them. They just heated it up and they put it on a plate and serve it to you just as they would everybody else. And most of the time they're going to be open to that. And you can either prep the food yourself. You could prep it something very similar to what you know is being served, but is compliant. Or there is the option of paleoonthego.com. They have these frozen meals that are actually really delicious. Tried it a couple of times. They're not super inexpensive by any means, but for an occasion like this, I think they're really, really great. And so that would be like a frozen dish that would be super easy for you to bring them. And then they would be able to heat it just following the instructions on the dish. Okay. And then if you have a host, So somebody else is hosting and it's not, say, like your aunt who you feel really comfortable talking to about them, you can either eat ahead of time. And sometimes it's nice to let the host know that so they don't feel like you're offending them by coming and just not eating. And they may suspect like, well, why is this person not eating? Does my food not look good? Do they just not eat in general? Like all these things that could be going through their mind. You would tell them, hey, I'm on this prescribed diet for health reasons. I'm just going to go ahead and eat ahead of time, but I'd love to come and socialize. And then you can also ask them if you could share a simple recipe that works. And again, don't just tell them your eliminations. Give them examples of what's compliant. So that would be protein without marinade, or veggies cooked in coconut or olive oil, fresh fruit, salads without croutons, olive oil-based dressings, things like that. All right, the last thing might be a happy hour. And so for a happy hour, you can always order a mocktail. Again, soda water with lime is one of my go-tos. You can order guacamole if you tolerate nightshades well, and ask for fresh veggies, or bring your own plantain chips or siete cassava flour tortilla chips. So those are some of my suggestions for happy hours. You can also always bring your own food to any of these events. So if the restaurant, caterer, host, or are just not accommodating, or you can't figure out a way to like contact them ahead of time, or you just don't have time to prep in that context, then you can bring your own food. Just fill a cooler with a recreation of whatever dish is being served so that you don't feel left out. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So I guess that's all of our advice, you guys. We'll have to do one day we'll have to do a whole episode about travel, but if you guys have any questions about, that's kind of rolled up into this. And I was like, maybe we can just shove that all in there too, travel, because that goes along with the holidays, but I think it's too much to cover in 1 hour. So if you have any questions about travel, shoot it over. Maybe we can try to squeeze in like a holiday Q&A before Christmas. So that'd be fun. So shoot us questions and we can try to, you know, pick up anything that we missed. And the very last thing that I wanted to add is we talked so much about food and all the hacks around it this whole episode. But like I said in the beginning, at the end of the day, this holiday is about gratitude. And whatever situation you're in life right now, if you are feeling super stressed out by all of this, if you are just starting this, if you're not feeling well, if you're in a really bad health area, you just don't feel great all the time. I get so many messages from people who tell me that they just feel like crap all the time, every day, day in and day out. And I know what that feels like to feel that way, but there is something to feel grateful for. You know, the fact that these people that are telling me they feel like crap are messaging me on a phone or a computer, or that you have somebody to spend the holidays with, or there's something to be grateful for. So past all of this food, the holidays are about gratitude. So don't forget that. And to close us out, do you have a meal of the week?
Oh, do I have one?
Do you?
No.
I think that we gave you guys a lot of meals. So a lot of meal ideas and a lot of food ideas. So my meal, which is something that I have eaten this week, is literally just a mini Thanksgiving meal and something that I've served to Daniel too. Like coleslaw, my Thanksgiving coleslaw, my stuffing, and the turkey poppers. So if you want a Thanksgiving preview or you want to test them out, that's my meal of the week.
Definitely test them out. They sound delicious.
Yeah. And with that, happy almost American Thanksgiving, everyone. A bunch of Canadians are probably like rolling their eyes right now, this whole episode. Like,
but that's okay.
Already happened.
This can also roll into Christmas.
Holiday season. Yes. It's about the holidays. Have a happy holiday, you guys. Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the Unbound Healing Podcast. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes and leave us a review. Until next time, you can find more from me, Anne, at grassfedsalsa.com, and more from Michelle at unboundwellness.com. We'll see you next week. Bye.